You're listening to Valley of Praise on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Well, it's a good morning and welcome to the Valley of Praise right here on the Adventist World Radio, powered by the SID Media. How often have you thought that my job or your profession is connected to your faith? How often do you think about that? How often do you think about the fact that you've got to give account of how you handle yourself at the workplace to the Lord? How often do you think of the fact that maybe, do you think about the fact that God gave you this job, God actually led you to this profession, or maybe you chose the profession against God's will, but we want to find out more about professions, and this is a new segment on the Valley of Praise. And our first-time contributor to this segment is none other than Desire Mafikeng, all the way from Kapstad, Cape Town. Good morning to you, Desire, and welcome to the Valley of Praise right here on the Adventist World Radio.
Good morning, my elder. How are you?
I'm fine, and you?
I'm good. How is the new year?
Well, the new year is quite brilliant. I hit the ground running and I'm running full speed ahead.
No, that's good. We thank the Lord for that.
Amen. Amen. Now, Desire, did you, before we unveil what profession you are in, did you, at the time you chose this profession, did you sit down and pray to your memory? Do you remember praying about, Lord, this is the kind of profession that I want? Did you ever pray about it?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's something that I prayed for actually a year before. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as young people, we get some role model as we're growing up. So well, at least we were seeing it growing up. Mm-hmm. It's something that I also had to pray for and to see if it can align with my spiritual life.
Right, right. But what's your profession? What are you?
Currently, I'm a qualified diesel mechanic and dealing with generators, but I've also worked with mining equipment and construction equipment.
Right. So you are a qualified diesel mechanic.
Diesel mechanic, yes.
Right. So what does being a diesel mechanic entail? What do you need? Let's start off from at high school. What kind of subjects do you need in order to be to study the course of being a diesel mechanic?
It entails of mathematics. Sciences, because there is a bit of calculations there that you need to do and precision that you need to do. So you need to be sharp in mathematics, you need to be sharp in sciences, and you also need to be sharp in technical drawings.
All right. All right. So you are telling us that you're sharp in mathematics, but
yeah, kind of.
Tell me, people always say there's no need to study mathematics. Do you still do calculations in your current job?
You do, because everything requires calculations. Everything needs precision, so you really need mathematics.
Yeah. So that mindset that says no, we don't need maths is not true, ne?
It is not true, because mathematics is found everywhere.
Right.
You find mathematics in accounting. You find almost in every field.
Yeah. You know, even here in radio, mathematics is quite key because we're always looking at the clock and calculating. So without mathematics, we'll get lost.
That's true, yes.
Yeah. So now that you've passed your, I don't know whether you did matric or whether you did A-levels or O-levels, I don't know which ones you did. So when you then passed, whichever grade you passed, what was the next step?
I stayed at home for a year trying to figure out.
Yeah.
And but the issue was actually on funds.
Yeah.
So in 2016, I was in here in South Africa in Bronkhorstspruit, where I got a company that took me as an apprentice.
Right.
And they decided to fund. Actually, I started as an assistant. Mm-hmm. Then later on, they decided to fund for my studies.
Right.
Which was kind of a relief for me, yeah.
Okay. So when you're saying you joined as an apprentice, what does an apprentice do? What does it entail to be an apprentice?
Currently in South Africa, you need to be registered to MESETA.
Yeah.
It's a board.
Right.
And your duties, you actually be studying on training.
Right.
So you'll be doing practicals and your theory as well.
Right. Okay.
Then while least you are working, your company will be giving you some kind of salary or a stipend to just to help you through.
Right. And talking about money, let's take a step back. You said that in order to study this, you needed some funding. How important is it to have this type of money, and how expensive is it to train within your field?
It's not really expensive, I would say. It all depends with the route that you want to take. If it's apprentice, then the company is always pay for you. Okay. But if it's a self-sponsored, then you need a bit of money. Mm-hmm. But I would also want to say, depending with the republic, like here in South Africa, you have a way of starting as an assistant, then later on go for a training, which doesn't really cost you a lot of money. But all they need is kind of a reference letter from the company that you've been working for, the years that you've been working for. Then you go register it's a tertiary which deals with artisans.
Okay.
It's a tertiary board that deals with artisans, yeah.
And
once you register, it's only a few figures that you need to pay for.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But if you want to go for a longer period, then that will require a lot of money, because now there's no company that will offer you funds. It's either you sponsor yourself or your parents have to do it for you for probably a period of about 3 to 4 years.
That's quite interesting. It seems to me then that Desire, before you got into this industry, you did a bit of some research in terms of what route was needed and where you needed to be in terms of the training. How important then is it for people to do research in terms of what is needed for me to be a qualified, in your case, a diesel mechanic?
I think it's very important that you do a prior research before you enroll on this field, because it's a demanding field.
Mm-hmm.
The engineering department is a quite demanding field. Remember, it's also it offers essential services, and that will require you sometimes to work 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
And then somehow it will contradict with your Sabbath belief.
Mm. Yeah.
So you need to think about those, and you need, since the field is so big, you need to think of where you want to be. I've been into construction,
mm-hmm.
which is also a 24-hour operation. I've been into mining, which is a 24-hour operations, and it's different from where I am right now, because I actually have flexible times, though I sometimes have to be on standbys and call-outs that requires me to work telephonically or physically. But you really need to do your research before you enter into it, because it might need you to compromise with our faith.
Yeah. We'll come to that one, Desire. Let's quickly talk about the environment that you found yourself in. You are fresh from high school, fresh from a year where you were sitting at home. Now you are getting into this industry. This industry is predominantly dominated by men. And I know, because I think my first year in tertiary, I did motor car maintenance for 2 years, and I was an apprentice also. And you discover that there's very crass language in there. People talk about all sorts of things. How did you adapt to that one? Because I know you desire, you're a strict man. Now, you get in there and they're talking all sorts of silly things.
There is a lot of things that happens in the field. Like you said, it's more male dominant. And you know the language that male normally talk when they are alone.
Yeah.
And there are certain discussions that you are also found into.
Yeah.
But being finding myself in the Adventist family, in the church family, I think I decided to take my own route when I got into the field. And try to be transparent and try to be a responsible person and try to show as well as to the people that are around me how I live my life, because I believe the way I handle myself within the society, within my workplace, within my people will be a way of preaching to them.
Yeah.
So it was not easy, because you get a lot of mockery. Sometimes you decide not to be part of, within the industry, people decide to make some extra cash through dishonest methods.
Yeah.
And you tend to say, I'm not able to do this.
Yeah.
And to them, it's not a good thing because they would think that you sell out.
Yeah. That's so true. Where people fix things on companies' resources, ne?
Yeah.
And the money does not go to the company.
Exactly, that's true.
Mm. And when you talk about mockery, were they laughing at you, calling you Mfundisi, Mruti, and all sorts of names because of your belief system?
Yes, that's a normal name in the field. If you try to be upright, you get those names because once you stand for yourself, once you stand for the truth, they will call you names. And they are always inclined to our faith.
Yeah. That's so true. Now, Desire, let's look at it. You get into this field. There's all this vulgar language. Let's talk about the issue of safety. And I think it's a very important discussion. It's an important process within your industry. Did you ever find yourself in places where safety was neglected, and how did you navigate that path?
I think in the beginnings, the company that I firstly worked for, we were not really adhering to the safety rules.
Mm-hmm.
And you get a bit of some complacence when it comes to the way we work.
Mm-hmm.
And we just want to finish the job. We just want to get the job done, but without thinking about the risks that comes up.
Yeah.
But it's a field that requires you to put your life first.
Yeah.
Before you execute the job, you need to think of yourself. You need to think of the people around you. You need to think about the company itself, the property itself. So you somehow need to do a risk assessment.
Yeah.
It might be written or just by seeing and eliminating hazards that might cause harm to yourself or to the property. But later on, as I get into the field, especially in the mining industry, they are quite strict. You really need, in anything that you do, you really need to firstly do the risk assessment, then eliminate all the hazards and the risks that might harm people around you and yourself.
Mm. And so did you ever at one point look back and say, you know what, I did every risk assessment there, but there, that was the hand of God. It's not me, but God just saved me there.
Yeah, I would say yes. It once happened.
Okay, and when you look back, you are thankful that God was there for you.
Definitely, you know. Yeah, I remember one of the instances. I was close to where you're staying in Rayton. By the it's a train area where they load coal.
Yes.
And I had gone there to fix a front end loader which was not able to lift up the bucket. So the only way was to do a reverse change of pipes. Then you start the machine and you try to play around with the levers. And while I'm doing that, you know, our field also works with hydraulics.
Yes.
And there's pressure in the hydraulic fluids.
Mm.
And I didn't release the pressure relief to allow it to loosen up.
Yeah, you didn't bleed it.
Then I went straight to open the pipes. Then that pressure went straight into my face. And you know how bad it is.
Yeah.
Force itself could have harmed me. But I'm here. And, you know, we laugh it off. But when it happened, we were so quiet and surprised.
Wow. You know, you look back and you say, thank God, because the hydraulic pressure is not your normal pressure for those that understand hydraulics. Ne?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And I saw sometime last year you posted and you said there's a place that you once worked at and you left it because you saw that this was a health hazard for you. And you left it. How? What happened? And how difficult was it for you to leave that place?
So as young people, we always think about money.
Yeah.
And as our field, money comes with experience.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd realize that in every company that you visit, you go, you start working for. There's always difference in amount of money.
Yeah.
And I remember this other company calling me and telling me that they want to offer me a job. And I went there. It was in Tabazimbi. When I got there tomorrow morning, they showed me the place that I'm going to be working for. And looking at it, looking at the environment, looking at the equipment that we are going to work with, the tools that we are going to use, I just decided this is not a safe place to be. I think I have to leave. And I had to.
How difficult was it knowing that you were compromising your financial standing?
It was so difficult, my elder. It was so difficult, but I had no other option but to think of myself, to think of my life. Then the money will come. You know, when you're qualified, when you know what you're doing, you always get an opportunity. And believing in God, God will always provide a way if you are doing the right thing.
Right. That's very powerful. That's very powerful. And let's look at you are a Christian, Desire, and here you are in a field that within the South African context is the trainers are mostly white, and the guys who do your assessment are white and all that stuff. And there's racism. South Africa still hasn't really healed from the clutches of racism. How did
Very true.
you navigate this, this field where there's racism still existent? And how did your Christian belief system come to help you through this phase where you were experiencing all this racism?
Yeah, that's a difficult one. It's a difficult subject, actually, but it's not easy to be in this field where most white people are actually dominant, because when you want to probably get a promotion or to elevate yourself within the protocols, the career, your career, you would realize that you may not get that opportunity just because of color. And I've got a few instances, especially on the first command. The one that actually trained me, when I got qualified, there was a vacant. And I applied for the vacant. You know, sometimes when you are an apprentice, you assume that once I get qualified, if the company has a vacant,
They'll
I'm the
take me.
first preference. But it was very unfortunate that they really brought someone elsewhere to come and take that position. And it was really bad for me. I really felt bad. And you know, sometimes you end up feeling useless. And what's difficult in the field is you realize that you also have to teach the guys that are coming in how to do the job. But well, at least they are actually earning more than you and driving the company cars that you're actually supposed to be driving as well. So it's, but well, we believe in God that if it is the God's will, you always make it for you.
Did that in any way break your faith, or it made you stronger in the Lord?
It actually made me stronger. I actually had to look for a place where I'm being valued. Yeah, but firstly, I had to consult the Lord.
That's quite interesting and powerful right there. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to Desire Mafikeng, and we are talking about he's a qualified diesel mechanic but can do quite a number of other things. And we're looking at his journey in the profession, and we're learning as to how he navigated the space and also balancing his Christian faith. And we're trying, as you listen, as your child, or as maybe you're thinking of going into the same field, these are the kind of challenges that you'll meet. And in terms of your faith, how will you navigate this space? This is quite key and quite important.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.